right, back to it now as we continue the conversation, keeping you informed and telling you the truth, no matter how much it might hurt a little bit. Right? Might hurt a bit, but it's all right. Donald Trump, Mike Johnson, apparently putting together a bill to prevent illegals from voting. No non-citizen voting, we'll see if it... But of course, it would never get a hearing in the United States Senate. John Fetterman might support it, but, you know, the fact of the matter is, Chuck Schumer would never bring it up. This is the grand plan. Michael J. O'Neill serves as Vice President of the Legal Affairs at Landmark Legal Foundation. He joins me now. Michael, nice to have you here.
It's good to be with you, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. This is an important proposal. Look, we're being flooded by, and nobody's quite sure. I had a congressman on from Michigan last week. He said his official new number is 13.5 million that have come in since Joe Biden got into the Oval Office. I think it's actually higher than that because nobody actually knows for sure. And if you're going to say the official number is 13.5, well, then add something to that. The point being is, I've been writing for 10 years about how California was cheating the system by having members of Congress they weren't entitled to because they're counting illegal noses as they go around and do their count. Same in Texas, same in Florida, same in New York, same in Illinois. But now they want to turn these people into voters. How do we prevent that from actually becoming the law of the land?
Well, first of all, we have safeguards in place in the states to ensure that when a non-citizen obtains a driver's license, oftentimes this happens, when a non-citizen obtains a driver's license, they aren't automatically registered to vote. And that's what happens oftentimes in California. For example, the DMV officials in California are prohibited from inquiring as to the citizenship status of individuals who come in and obtain driver's licenses. In social services, for example, also, if non-citizens apply for social services, they can also apply to register to vote. And again, those social service agencies are prohibited from inquiring as to the citizenship status of individuals. So what you see is a lot of people who obtain driver's licenses, who register for social services, welfare, et cetera. Also, names are automatically placed on voting rolls. Well, this becomes a problem, again, when every single individual in a jurisdiction like California is mailed a mail ballot. So in California, if your name is on the voter rolls, no matter whether you indicate whether you want to vote by mail or in person, it doesn't matter. Your name, you're going to get sent a mail ballot. Well, if you have a non-citizen on those voter rolls, because nobody's ever checked and nobody's ever confirmed the citizenship status of individuals who register, there's never been any kind of guardrails, and you get mailed a ballot, well, leads to believe that you can easily vote. And what's interesting here is it's still a crime to vote if you're ineligible to vote. So these individuals might mail the mail ballot, not even realize that you're committing a crime, and execute that vote. It gets sent into the stream of commerce. There's really no way to identify whether
there's no way. You know, if those votes get thrown in there, nobody's ever going to know. They're not going to go after a million people. Look, I live in Michigan. There's a constitutional amendment voted on by the people a couple of years ago requiring, for example, that the voter rolls be scrubbed of people that have died or moved away or whatever. The Secretary of State says, yeah, I'll get to it. She hasn't done what the law demands, what the Constitution of the state demands. There's no penalty. So the Democrat Secretary of State's like, meh. Jocelyn Benson's like, meh, not going to do it. And there's no recourse for the citizens. There is no recourse to make sure that voting has integrity. And I wonder about the same thing here. These votes get into the mix. You know, they just flood the zone. Who's ever going to be able to figure out what's what?
Right. It's too late. Well, there is a federal law that gives private entities and private groups and private individuals a cause of action. You can, you've heard about these lawsuits that you can compel jurisdictions, specific jurisdictions to ensure the integrity of their vote. You can, but the law compels registrars of voters, state officials, state election officials, to only identify individuals who've moved out of your jurisdiction or who've died. And this is when the Social Security Administration or the Postal Service is ostensibly in a perfect system, is supposed to communicate with your registrar of voters and say, well, Mike O'Neill has died or Mike O'Neill has moved out of the jurisdiction, so you need to remove him from the voter list. There is no affirmative duty to identify and remove non-citizens. Now, that would be a good change in the law so that private groups could say, wait a minute, there's prima facie evidence that there might be a large contingent of non-citizens here. Let's have a lawsuit to determine whether that is in fact the case and then compel you under federal law to identify and remove those names. This is just smart list maintenance procedures that need to be instituted across the country.
Well, it certainly is. Look, I estimated 10 years ago that California had 5 to 7 seats in Congress it was not entitled to, which basically disenfranchises me. I live in Michigan. We don't have a large population of non-citizens here as you would in Texas or Florida or California. So therefore, they're getting members of Congress that might otherwise stay here. Michigan's lost a seat in Congress each of the last two or three census cycles. So I keep getting membership, my representation taken away. It's wrong. It's illegal. But how do you stop it? If you put forth a bill, if Donald Trump and Mike Johnson get together and put forth a bill,
right,
and it never gets heard in the United States Senate, what difference does it make?
Right. And again, you have to have the laws in place. Again, there's been multiple efforts to do this. I think years ago when Donald Trump was president, there was an effort to change the census question to say indicate citizenship. And again, that's for appropriation for seats of Congress. This is what you're talking about. And this is the another renewed effort. So the only way to do this, again, is to keep going back to the well, keep pushing legislatively and to ensure that the Census Bureau, when they do conduct these these censuses every 10 years, there is a question on that census indicating whether you are a citizen. Obviously, the left is going to oppose it in every step of the process. However, you have to continue to push it and ultimately hope for.
But how do they defend that?
Legislative victory on
it. Let me ask you that.
Sure.
How do they defend that? They're going to fight it every step of the way. But how do you fend against, hey, we don't want non-citizens voting? Well, what's going to be their argument?
Right, and that's what Speaker Johnson and former President Trump were talking about. I believe the statistic they cited was 78% of Americans support the fact that citizens should be voting. Now, 78%, I would think it would be 90%, but 78% is still a pretty big number, right?
It's so a super majority.
Right, so if you're talking politically here about this, you want to say there is the political aspect, there is the strategic aspect here, is when you're talking about this, is you are forcing the other side to defend their proposition, to defend their position. Well, why wouldn't you? The best argument they can proffer, again, is, well, there's no evidence that there's non-citizens voting. That's what you always hear. This is a solution without a problem. Well, I just illustrated to you what happens. If there's no guardrails and nobody's checking and nobody's determining at the onset whether an individual is a non-citizen and there's no significant guardrails or checks in place, you're never going to be able to determine the extent to which it occurs. Well, we do know this. We do know that people who show up to jury duty, now we're a jury list pulled from. Well, they're pulled from voter lists. Well, you have prospective jurors. You know, you talk about all those people in New York City, for example, who are being questioned about whether they're going to serve on the Donald Trump jury.
Right.
Well, you have those sort. You have individuals in juries in jury processes throughout the country consistently saying, "Well, I'm ineligible to serve because I'm not a citizen." Well, hey, that makes sense, okay? If somebody says, I'm not a citizen, and they testify and they attest in front of a court that they're not a citizen, well, the court has the name of that individual. Well, a simple solution is for that court to take those names and send them right over to the registrar of voters and say, well, these individuals just attested that they were not citizens. Let's see if they're on the voter rolls. We got their name from somewhere. They showed up somewhere.
Well, cross-reference. Yeah, you know, that'd be a great way to cross-reference and sample the pool to see how much contamination is in the pool. I mean, that'd be a fair way to go. I got to leave it there for today. But we need to find ways to make sure that we have integrity in our election system. Non-citizens should have no position in voting as a citizen of the United States, period. Or as a state or as a local municipality, in my opinion. But I'm an absolutist, Michael, in this regard. Thank you for being here. Michael J. O'Neill serves as Vice President of Legal Affairs at Landmark Legal Foundation. You can look him up and find out more. Landmark Legal Foundation. Michael, thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Have a great day.
You too. It's important stuff right there. I'll be right back.
Those burgers smell amazing.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of amazing, our barbecue is powered by natural gas.
Yes.
Because we're just two roommates in a commercial, letting everyone know Enbridge is working to reduce emissions by blending hydrogen and renewable natural gas into their network.
It's what we were created to do, Michael.
Deja, it's what we live for. And when this commercial ends,
we say, tomorrow is on. Enbridge.
Life takes energy.
When it comes to investing, I'm always wondering, am I doing the right thing? And that's why I say you should always get a second opinion. This is Steve Gruber, and one of the people I ask about where to put my money is Nick Hopwood of Peak Wealth Management in Plymouth, Michigan. You see, Nick has over 25 years of investing experience and nearly $300 million under management. Plus, Nick and his team at Peak Wealth are fiduciaries, which means they invest in your best interest, not their own. Many advisors in the industry don't do any planning at all. As certified financial planners, the Peak Wealth team creates comprehensive, holistic financial plans based on your goals and what's important to you. Reach out to Peak Wealth for a second opinion today. on your investments, fees, and to make sure you won't run out of money in retirement. By working with Nick, you can retire with peak confidence. Get your second opinion at peakwm.com/Gruber. That's peakwm.com/Gruber. Peak Wealth Management.
At the Michigan Chamber, we're here to help our state's businesses tackle the tough issues in the legislative, political, and legal arenas so job providers can grow and thrive. We pride ourselves on our hustle, making sure no one works harder or gets more done. That's why we've been voted the most effective membership organization for 18 years running. If there's an issue affecting you and your business, we're here to help. The Michigan Chamber, on the job for you, to protect, connect, and strengthen.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber or how to become a member, visit michamber.com.